All right, folks, welcome back to the Steve Malzberg Show. Although we preferred to lead with the power of persuasion, with many resistant employers, we were often left no choice but to use the persuasion of power. Andy Stern, Service Employee International Union boss, ladies and gentlemen. We like conversation, but we embrace confrontation. Dennis Dingow, Service Employee International Union Executive Contracts Administrator. Our priority should not be to make unionized employers non-competitive by raising the wages and benefits they offer their employees over the non-union companies' wages in the market. Instead, our priority should be to contribute to our employees' success by organizing all their competitors. Andy Stern's book, A Country That Works. Folks, joining us now is David A. Bago. He is a man who built up a business into a huge business, a small business owner. It was a cleaning company, built it from the ground up, eventually contracted with over 50 Fortune 500 companies. He employed 5,000 people in 36 states. And then one day along came the SEIU and Andy Stern. And David Bago has written all about this in a book called The Devil at My Doorstep, Protecting Employee Rights. Hey, David, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Boy, you know, I got to tell you, you have a horror story here, a story of, you know, terrible intimidation and worse. And you talk about how you, you know, stood up to it. And it's a great story. But the thing about it is it's true. And if you face this at your level, I mean, how many, you know, smaller business owners and other business owners have faced the same exact thing from the thuggery of unions?
Well, Steve, it is sad. And the real sad part on is it's going on across this country every day. And most small businesses, even large businesses, are afraid to confront it because of loss of business or eventually losing their business, or because of public perception. And I know of many, many, many people in my industry that have given in and done what the SEIU wants them to do.
All right, talk about, not to interrupt, Dave, but talk about, you know, one day the SEIU came a-knocking to try to organize and unionize your company. What happened? What was the result? How did it start?
Well, in 2005, they sent me a letter and wanted to meet with me and talk about what they thought they could do for my employees. And since I was familiar with them in other locations across the country, I basically ignored the letter. And they became persistent going into 2006 and making calls to me and emails. And finally, I agreed to meet with them in 2006. And at the second meeting is where everything really came to a head. And you made reference to the comment that their contract administrator made. We had a pretty cordial lunch, and we're talking about things, and I kept asking questions like, how can you help my employees? Give me proof. Show me things that you think you can do, because if you can, I'll listen. And but they couldn't and wouldn't. And by the end of the lunch, he made the comment to me. He says, Mr. Bago, you're not going to sign a neutrality agreement, are you? And I said, no, I'm not. I don't think it's my right morally to sign an agreement that gives up my employees' rights to a secret ballot election. And he says, well, we enjoy conversation, but we embrace confrontation. We're going to attack you, your employees, and your customers in the next 30 to 60 days.
Well, let me ask you. Well, I know that there's a bill, you know, before the Senate right now, which would do away with the secret ballot when it comes to voting for unions. But I thought that there was a secret ballot in place.
There is a secret ballot.
So you could have signed us something called a neutrality agreement, which would have done away with the secret ballot.
That's right.
Okay.
And this is what the unions are using right now. In fact, the neutrality agreement is the forerunner
to Karchek.
Of Karchek,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and it's a terrible name because it's really not, just like Karchek is misleading and neutrality is kind of misleading as well. But you persisted. You fought these people. You fought this union. I don't know how the heck you did it. I know it cost you tons of money and 3 years of your life, and you had to win this case, as you say in the book, or it would have been the end of your company as you knew it.
Well, that's right, and not only that, it just goes against everything I believe in, and personal freedoms and people's ability to use their abilities to do their best. And these people, quite honestly, they weren't organizing my employees. They were organizing me. They were trying to force me to make my people union. And I'm, I'm an old college basketball player and baseball player, and I've been through some hard knocks, and I understand competition, and I just decided that I was going to do the right thing, and we were going to persevere, and that's what we did.
And how did you do that? I mean, through the courts, besides the legal aspect of it, how do you hold your business together when the philosophy is, you know, the persuasion of power?
Well, it's tough because if you read my book, and I hope people do, and you look at the things they did to some of my employees.
For instance, give us the worst thing they did in your view.
Well, there's a lot of them. One that really just made me cry, to be honest with you, and I did cry, and I've told the story many times and cried when I've told it, is here in Indianapolis, where the focal point of the attack against EMS, Executive Management Services, my company was, we had a lady, the elderly lady, that go into work every night, and the organizers would try to get her to sign a union card, and she kept telling them, no, I'm not interested, leave me alone. They then tried to coerce her by offering her money, and she says, no, I'm not interested, leave me alone. She was so intimidated and afraid that she had our supervisors walking her out at night. And she even had a police officer stop and intervene and help her. And finally, one night, one of the organizers went to her and said, you're going to be union whether you like it or not, sign the card. And she broke down and signed the card. This was after like 3 weeks of intimidating her.
Wow.
And, you know, here's a lady that at that age, she just wants to go in and do her job, be left alone, and it just tore my heart apart. And I looked at it and said, you know, I can put up with that stuff, but for them to do that to these people is terrible.
Yeah. Well, I can't say how much I admire you, and I think people should read the book. It's a soft cover book. It's about 200 pages. It's a story that everybody needs to see and to read and to understand what the heck goes on, and what small business owners and successful small business owners who build their business into a huge business like David Bagel go through, and what those who haven't gone through it yet are facing, especially with an administration where Andy Stern, who wants to use the persuasion of power, is the most frequent guest in the White House. So even though he resigned his union position. So the book is The Devil at My Doorstep by David Bago, Bego. And it's in the bookstores, Amazon, the whole thing?
Amazon, and then we have our website, thedevilatmydoorstep.com, where it's available. And so either place they can get the book.
All right. Well, good luck. And, David, thank you. And thank you for standing strong for your company and your employees.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to get the story out. And if I may, real quick, the way we beat them is we took them through the National Labor Relations Board, and we won 3 major cases against them. And other companies can use those cases to keep their company from going through the same thing.
Excellent. All right, David. We'll speak again. David Bagel.